The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The Ireland women's rugby team are gearing up for next month's Rugby World Cup in England. They're playing Scotland at Virgin Media Park in Cork this Saturday in the first of two warm-up games. Whatever happens at this year's edition, it'll be a far cry from Ireland's first ever appearance at the tournament in 1994, which almost did not go ahead. Cameron Hill from Off the Ball has this extraordinary story. Cameron, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Where was it going to be?
So the Netherlands were due to host this tournament in 1994, the second edition of the Women's Rugby World Cup. The first one had taken place 3 years earlier in Wales in 1991, 12 teams participating against the wishes of the IRB. They did not sanction that first tournament. They are, of course, the precursor to World Rugby, the current governing body of the global game.
Okay, so then the next one was good to be in the Netherlands. What was the problem there?
Well, the Dutch Women's Rugby Union was integrated with the men's, which was unusual at the time. So, for instance, the IRFU wasn't integrated with the Irish Women's Rugby Football Union until 2008, when the latter was fully dissolved. And because of this, the organisers would have to get permission from the IRB to host the tournament. Now, the competition was due to start on the 11th of April in 1994. And they were advised that the next meeting with the IRB, where they would find out if the tournament could go ahead, wouldn't be until March.
Too late.
Way too late.
Their options were cancel the whole damn thing or take a risk and go ahead.
Yeah, and because they were tied to the Men's Rugby Union, it could have really damaged the Netherlands' rugby prospects for the foreseeable future.
So they're not exactly a powerhouse in rugby, yeah.
No, not yet.
Some years later on.
So I'm glad they took that risk in the end. But so they went with the first option. They cancelled it. Funnily enough, New Zealand were in the same bank, so they were tied to the Men's Rugby Union and couldn't get the funding, basically, without the IRB. So they didn't attend this tournament. So it was starting to fall apart. It was hard to say who would save the World Cup at this point, until Scotland internationals Sandra Colamartino and Sue Brody were getting ready for their first appearance at the tournament. They get this famous fact saying it's not going to go ahead. And Brody explained to me how she reacted when she heard the news.
The Russians announced, even though they'd entered, that they had nowhere to stay and they had no money and they had, you know, nothing organised. So that was really stressful because, you know, they were included in the programme and the whole format of the tournament was depending on, you know, there being the right number of teams and all the rest of it. So I just out of desperation, I went on local radio to see if anybody could help. Because it was a kind of building story around it being such short notice and it being cancelled and, you know, Scotland to the rescue and all that kind of thing. This was like added to it, you know, so the Russians are coming and they've got nowhere to stay. So it turned out that it fell in line with the holidays at the nursing accommodation at a hospital just outside Edinburgh. So we got a free accommodation there. That was smack next to Livingston Rugby Club. So they had training facilities at the club. There was a coach company going down to Manchester Airport to drop people off. So they would have an empty coach to bring them back to Edinburgh. And there was a minibus company that said we could have it was a bit clapped out, but it was a minibus for 2 weeks, you know, free of charge. You know, so, and then they got tickets for the castle and they got, you know, and free admission to the Commonwealth pool and they did okay.
That was Brody explaining just how hard this was because they got the facts in January of 1994 and had 90 days to say either we're not going to do this or we have to find a way to organise this tournament. Brody was the head of the Scottish Women's Rugby Union at the time. So she explained then, they meet in this pub in Edinburgh and the rest is kind of history. She explains it better.
Well, I was also the chair of the Scottish Women's Rugby Union. It was me that got the facts to say it was cancelled. It was a total shell shock because there was no hints that that was ever going to happen. And we'd been working really hard, you know, to prepare to go to Holland. I was gutted as a player, totally gutted. But then as an administrator, I kind of had a feeling that I was in a position to do something about it. About 2 days later, I started to think that it was just an international tournament. We could actually have it in Scotland. You know, it was just a tournament. Everyone that would be expecting to go there would, you know, the idea of it just being pulled out from under your feet is just unbelievable. You know, so I had a feeling that there would be support for it. But it was incredibly naive to think it was just a tournament. About 2 days later, at club training in Edinburgh, key people from there We all went to a pub after training, and I invited people that I thought had something to offer. So people that had financial background, marketing, all that kind of thing. So people that had the skills, to be able to put an organizing committee together and to actually see this work. And I think everybody was a bit like, oh my God. But actually, when we talked about it, it was a case of we could do it, and it was literally days after receiving that fax, a letter went out to everybody to say the dates are exactly the same, but we'll host it in Scotland instead if you'd like to come. And here's the entry form. And people did enter. And it's like, oh God, right, okay, so it is happening.
It is happening, and happening in Scotland. Now, did the Netherlands turn up in the end themselves?
No. So as I mentioned, because of that threat from the IRB, well, not threat, but basically, we're not going to help you with this and we're going to wash our hands of the whole thing. They decided they couldn't jeopardise the whole of rugby in Holland. New Zealand had a similar problem. They couldn't go. But the wider Scottish community really got behind this, especially with the sort of threat of this isn't supposed to happen. This is a little bit clandestine. They got all their venues free of charge for the entire tournament. And as you
heard,
it
was a brilliant piece of improvisation, really.
It was brilliant.
Now, what about Ireland? Where were we in all of this? I mean, were we preparing for this World Cup? Did we intend to go?
Yeah, in fact, only a year before they'd taken their first steps into women's rugby. Their first international, funnily enough, against Scotland on Valentine's Day 1993 at Raeburn Place in Edinburgh, the site of the first ever men's international between Scotland and England in 1871. Also Scotland's first international, so plenty of history going on that day. Scotland win that 10-0, two tries from Cola Martino, and they play again almost a year to the day, 13th of February 1994, in Ravenhill in Belfast. The Scots only won 5-0 that day, and a third test came against Wales in March at Blackrock College. And Ireland scored their first points. Scrum half Raeltine Shrives opted to kick a penalty, so the game finished 20-3 to the Welsh. But there was this sense among the Ireland squad of a growing momentum. They weren't prepared to simply give up their spot at a first ever World Cup. And Shrives detailed how the first few months of 1994 went from an Ireland perspective.
We're gathering momentum to play in the World Cup. That's the goal. So that's why we play at Ravenhill, Scotland again. That's why we play Wales. And I think we might have played Nomads as well. So we used to have training sessions in Ireland and in England as well at London Irish. So we're all gunning towards the World Cup. We're all preparing for that. And next of all, we get the call that we hear that, number one, it's not going to be in the Netherlands. And number two, Scotland, lastminute.com decided that they're going to pick it up. And we're like, yeah, we're going, So 1 minute it's like, it's not on. Next minute, yeah, Scotland are hosting it. Great. And then again, we hear the Irish Rugby Football Union are not going to support you. And this is really important bit of history because it was Joanne Moore. And I've always told people this story. It was Joanne Moore. I distinctly remember she called me up and she said, Raeltine, the Irish Rugby Football Union are not going to back us. We're not going to get no. She said, are you still willing to go? I went, absolutely. It wasn't even a question of whether we got back in. We were like, we have to go. And I think deep down, Cameron, we all knew as players, we have to keep going. We have to keep pushing because we can't lose this momentum, right? Little did we know at the time how important it was to keep that momentum. But we were just like, no, we're going. We've prepared for this. We're going. Irrespective of not getting, we didn't care. We weren't getting a back in. As a bunch of Irish players, we will go. We don't care. And we also then found out that the IRB weren't supporting the World Cup. They weren't recognising it. And again, all the teams, all the women that were playing for these different nations, we didn't care. We've come this far, very early in the game. And it's like, look at those women in 91. Look at the Sue Dorringtons of the world that had the first World Cup. God, the tenacity of those women and the courage of them getting it going, then to come to the 94. And I think it was just like, how dare they?
So they head to this World Cup.
Now, that's Raeltine Shrives. Raeltine meaning Osquelga, little star.
Yeah.
So Irish heritage there, clearly.
Yeah, and she was quite the star at this World Cup. She won a FA Women's Cup. She captained Millwall to it in 1991 as well. So she's had a fascinating career in her own right.
Okay, so how did we do?
So first game was against Scottish students. I'm not sure if it's either the Netherlands or New Zealand who they stepped in for in the end, but it was an 18-5 win. Vicky McDonald with Ireland's first ever try. A 31-0 defeat to France followed, so Ireland were second in Pool B, which meant they had a quarterfinal against defending champions, the USA, lost that 76-0, so not the easiest
Ouch.
Day, no. Then they go into the Shield, where they lost 10-3 to our old friend the Scots in the semi-final before beating Japan by 11 points to 3 in the third place playoff. And for the tournament itself, England beat the US in the final by 38 points to 23.
So I wonder where the American women have gone from being a powerhouse in women's rugby back in 94. Well, where are they today?
They're still quite up there. Like they're really good at sevens. And one of the most, I think the most high profile rugby player, bar maybe Antoine Dupont, in the world, Ilona Maher, is taking over TikTok. So they have a really good chance, but it's hard to see past England for this year's tournament.
Now, what's the status of this tournament that almost wasn't in rugby history?
It's hard to know. So I went back through the Irish rugby website to see if I could find the results. And all bar the Scottish students game, which technically isn't a test because it's not against an international side, and the USA quarterfinal, they're not on the Irish rugby website as the kind of list of fixtures historically for the women's team. I got onto the IRFU, and to be fair, they said that records at that time, because it wasn't a sanctioned IRB event, are a bit hazy, so they haven't quite got that over the line. So we probably have to give them the benefit of the doubt there. But funnily enough, the 1994 edition is acknowledged in the Women's Rugby World Cup website, but on a more tab. So you have all of the...
Okay. So did they get caps for their pains in 1994?
No, it wasn't until 2018 that the members, so Railty and Joanne Moore mentioned in the clip, along with 110 other Irish players, finally got their caps from 1993 to 2005. So we haven't been brilliant in terms of commemorating that. And as we head into this huge tournament, which Cliona Maloney, the Ireland player, was saying will be a game changer, it has to be this time in England, we have to remember where we came from. Like, it's only 30 years ago that this tournament was taking place against the wishes of the governing body. So I think more needs to be done to commemorate those brave women.
A little forgotten bit of rugby history. Anyway, Cameron Hill from Off the Ball, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.